It's a beautiful day to say what you need to say. It's a beautiful day to say what you need to say, yeah. And I can lead the way.
Hey there, welcome to Time Out with Ty, a free-flowing conversational podcast featuring Ty Windisch, that's me, and one great guest per episode. This week, my great guest is Jeremy Wu, a Sports Illustrated writer who covers the draft and pretty much the NBA in general. I wanted to talk draft, and I emailed Jeremy about doing a draft podcast before the draft, which was a rare moment of preparation on my part, and then the day after, Derrick Rose got traded, which is something that got talked about a lot over the past few seasons, but it seemed more like a 2K thing than a real NBA thing to me. Like, I didn't think it was actually ever going to happen. Did you?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of crazy. I mean, you hear the rumors normally when it's the Knicks, you know, we're not like, oh, this is definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of Knicks rumors that are usually kind of dubious. So it had occurred to me that Rose could get traded, but I didn't think that it was really going to happen. So I think that it just kind of sent a shockwave. No one's under the illusion that he's a superstar in terms of on the court output right now. But I think just how tied he was to the Bulls, you know, in terms of guys around the league, you know, who are really kind of tied in with one franchise. You know, Rose was still in that top tier guys. So I think when you think about a team, you know, he's sort of the guy that comes to mind, for better or worse. So it was tough, I think, for, you know, some people in Chicago, and it was just very jarring, I think, seeing the trade happen. But now that you can start back from it, I mean, it kind of makes sense for both teams. I don't think it's I think it's just going to be a very interesting thing to follow for the next several months.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think I don't mind what the Bulls are doing, and usually I'm very critical of the Bulls front office. I'm very upset you stole Denzel Valentine, who was maybe my favorite prospect in the draft. We'll get into draft stuff in a minute. But it makes sense what they're doing to sort of rebuild, especially to get that contract out of there. I don't know how I feel about the Knicks doing this, though. Like, I don't... Like, this is, like, 5 years too late. Like, is Carmelo Anthony and Derrick Rose, plus whoever they pay way too much for in a couple weeks, is that really going to be a good enough team to do something worthwhile?
Well, I mean, my guess would be the Knicks, like, they looked at the East, and, you know, you look up and down, and I mean, it's not that hard, I feel like, to get into the, you know, the top tier of the East, but it's just, like, you know, they had to do something. They didn't really have anything to lose. And so I see the logic of the deal for them. You know, Lopez was not a piece that was going to, you know, really matter for them long term. You know, they kind of cleared out, you know, some extra spots. I mean, just the fact that they have, I mean, like, bottom line, they're going to sell tickets at this trade. So, like, you can see it from that standpoint.
Well, yeah. And they'll sell playoff tickets, too, which is a big financial thing.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I don't know if they're instantly a playoff team, but I think they I mean, you never know. I mean, sometimes you just mix up the ingredients a little bit, and it can be a big boost. I mean, I think Rose will benefit from the change of scenery because he was sort of starting to get healthier at the end of last year. I mean, we can't expect him to be, you know, MVP level 2011 Derrick Rose, but he doesn't have to be that. And I think it'll maybe take a little bit of pressure off Carmelo. I mean, I kind of like it. I honestly am really curious to see, you know, how it plays out. I guess even more so in New York than in Chicago.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to go get Dwight? Does Dwight make sense?
I mean, it would not shock me.
I'm worried about my guy Kristaps' minutes, though. That's the thing.
Right. Well, I mean, he'll play power forward. I don't think it's going to affect his minutes at all. What it will affect is his touches, like his offensive usage a little bit. But
yeah.
Again, it's probably not bad to take a little pressure off him, too, you know. I don't see it as a negative for Porzingis. He'll still get a lot of play. And I think it's more interesting to see if they get Joakim Noah and reunite him and Rose in New York. That to me is the most interesting scenario, just because, you know, seeing the team that was supposed to be maybe in Chicago with, you know, Carmelo, Rose, and Noah now here in New York, like 3 years later after the fact, I'm not going to say it's not super interesting. Like, I'm very, very curious to see what that might turn into.
That would low-key probably be a very enjoyable team to watch. Like, there's some real personalities there. I mean, especially if they get Noah. But, I mean, Rose has never been extraordinarily soft-spoken. I mean, he drew all that ire for the kids' right. graduation comment a couple years ago now, I think it is. He's going to say what he thinks. Carmelo Anthony is, I think he's going to be ecstatic to have like star teammates finally. I think he's going to be happy. And Noah's always good for a quote. Like, that goes without saying.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think that like that team could either totally combust just in the sense that the on-court product isn't what we need it to be, or I think it could be pleasantly surprising. I mean, it could be an entertaining follow. I think they could definitely sneak into the playoffs, if they get the right parts. And it's better than, the Knicks don't have that much to lose. You know, they haven't had a lot of their own draft picks, so it's just like, see what happens. And, the one option would have been trading Carmelo, and they chose the other option, which is we're going to at least try to get him something, because he has been a really good sport the last two seasons, all things considered.
Yeah, you always get like the gifs and vines of his grumpy bench faces, but you're right. I mean, he knows that he picked New York. Like, he had the choice to leave. He had the choice to go to Chicago or Houston. He picked New York, and he's been very cool about them being pretty ass, to put it bluntly, for the past multiple seasons. Just a random aside from saying the Knicks have nothing to lose, that's how I feel about the Nets in free agency this year. Like, what stops the Nets from offering whoever a max deal? Like, if they get a little better but not a lot better, it still doesn't hurt them because they don't have their picks anyway.
Right, yeah. I mean, I would expect them to try to be aggressive, but I also think they're definitely realistic. They're not about to be going out and being like, hey, Kevin Durant, like, come to Brooklyn. Like, I don't think, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's definitely a realistic sense there, but I mean, I like the way they went in the draft, like, not to get too far ahead of ourselves. But, like, again, like, taking a pick like Caris LeVert that could be a home run in 3 or 4 years, I mean, I think that's good. And, they have, the Spurs, old Spurs guys, now moving into the Nets front office, Sean Marks and Trajan Langdon. And I think they have an understanding of where they're going. So, they can be aggressive, but they also don't, It's kind of a zero-sum decision. Like, they don't have to win right now either. It's just, like, find something, So yeah, I wouldn't expect them. Also, no one's going to go to Brooklyn right now. There's just not a lot of upside.
No. Deion Waiters.
Maybe.
He's got to go somewhere because there's a new shooting guard in Oklahoma City. The other big trade, and there were a couple other trades. There was Charlotte just decided they didn't want the 22nd pick, I guess, and they took Marco Bellinelli instead, which is horrible. But I don't really want to focus on that trade too much. But instead, this trade, Serge Ibaka to the Magic for Ersan Ilyasova, Victor Oladipo, and Domantas Sabonis. Sabonis?
Yeah.
Sabonis. Someday I'll learn how to say things. Someday. I hated this trade for the Magic, personally. How do you come in on it right now?
I did not hate it for the Magic, just because I think they were getting to a position, and a lot of these young teams do, where it's like, you have so many assets that it starts to become maybe a detractor about, what you can actually do with them. I mean, there are only so many minutes to go around, and they, I think that what probably happened is, you get to number 11 in the draft, and it's like there's no one they love, clearly, was at that spot. So it's just like, how can we get better? How can we improve our talent level? I think they have guys who are ready for more minutes. I think Oladipo, Ibaka is a really good theoretical partner for Vucevic, who's one of their best offensive players, but, I think they had trouble keeping him on the floor because of, defensive issues. But he's perfect with Ibaka because Ibaka can also shoot. And Ibaka's a unique player, and I think he also needs a chance to change the scenery. So I don't hate it for the Magic, really. I mean, I don't think they're giving us that much. I mean, Oladipo, is I guess, the valuable part, but, they were coming to a point where they had to do something with all those assets. And I think Hezonja is ready for more minutes. I'm a big fan of Mario Hezonja. I think he will be an immediate beneficiary here. So I don't hate it because I think the Magic know that they don't need to, sprint here. But Ibaka is a piece that's, shortly still in his prime years. I think he's going to give him something. So I can see it both ways.
I think he's going to give him something, too. I like Ibaka as a player. I mean, in 2016 in the modern NBA, that's an ideal power forward to have. Like you said, he can defend centers. He can shoot really well. I mean, he had a bad shooting year last season, but he had just a bad year in general last season. It could be a sign of regression. It could just be an outlier bad year. The change of scenery could take care of that. It's hard to tell. My thing with the Magic is I feel like they're just trying to accelerate their timeline too much. Like, I hated the Tobias Harris trade because you give up, a younger player for Ersan Ilyasova and Brandon Jennings. Brandon Jennings is going to walk in free agency. Ersan just got traded. I mean, Ersan didn't really matter anyway. But Ersan just got traded now in this deal. with a rookie and another young player for Ibaka, who could then walk next summer if he wants to, which I don't think it's out of the question to see him go to somewhere a little better, because the Magic aren't going to be that good next year already. They don't have the pieces yet. I don't think they can leapfrog enough teams to make the playoffs. I mean, maybe they can if Ibaka plays really well and Hezonja comes on quick. I just don't know if I see it happening. So I just think it's a tremendous gamble to give up. You're looking at over the past 2 years or so now, Tobias Harris and the 11th pick, which in this case was Sabonis, but could have been anybody else they wanted, and Oladipo for essentially Ibaka rental if he doesn't stick around. I'm just worried that like they reached a little too far too quick. They flew too close to the sun.
I disagree, because I think that to some extent, especially when you're in Orlando, you're a smaller market team, you're not going to be able to. It's harder to lure a guy and be like, hey, come here out of free agency. If you get a guy in first, it's like it's always easier to try to make that pitch to keep someone once they're in the fold. I mean, they have to do something to take a step forward. You know, they've made the coaching change. You know, Frank Vogel's in there. You know, they're going to be, you know, I think a little bit more ready to go. The team's like they're secure with him. I like it. I mean, I don't think anyone was under the illusion that Tobias Harris is going to be a star. I don't think Oladipo is going to be a superstar. Like, you know, he's a nice player. He's going to be great, as the third. Well, assuming Durant goes back, you know, he's going to be great in that role with the Thunder. But I don't think they really, like, I understand the criticism, but I would rather see a team really try to make a leap forward in the East. It's not that hard. Like, look at last season, look at the teams that were in the playoffs. I don't think it's that hard to get into the playoffs in the East, and I don't think they're as far off as we might think, just putting these parts together and getting a new coach in. They may not be done either, so we'll see.
I agree it is worthwhile to do something. Like, you can only sit around and wait for so long. Like, the Magic weren't in the position like the Bucks are, where it's like they have Giannis and Jabari and Chris Middleton. Like, the Bucks don't need to really, I mean, they did, but they don't really need to swing for the fences in these huge gambles, because it's like, look, if these guys project like they're even close to supposed to, they'll be good soon. Like, they don't need to add Serge Ibaka right now at the expense of one of these young players. They can just sort of wait. The Magic didn't really have anyone that looked to project as that good. So I definitely see what you're saying in that if they sat around, it might not have ever, they might have just won 35 wins forever.
Right, and I mean, look, like the bottom line is, I think they improved their talent level. You know, Ilya Sova is a throwaway. The number 11 pick is going to be a role player. The draft is like, the draft was not that great. Like, you know, the reason why everything went crazy, I think, you know, from Thonmaker on, is because everyone's boards were so different. You know, from that point on, that it was hard to guess who was going to go where. So like, that pick does not have the same value as it would. In a different draft. I think they knew that they weren't going to get something they loved. And take a chance. Why not? Ibaka's not that old. You know, I think he feels old because Oklahoma City's been good for so long. But he's not, you know, I think if they can re-sign him, then I think it's a great trade.
I see where you're coming from. I'm not a believer yet, but if they re-sign him, I will come around a lot more. I think that is a big part of it for me. And you're right. I mean, they get to talk to him now. Plus, they have the ability to offer him more money now, which is important.
They have the bird rights.
Yeah, they have the bird rights. Yeah. So I don't know if they want to give him that much, but they can. And they can give him an extra year, too, which is important.
Right, because like, with the cap jumping, and it's going to jump again next year, like, you're going to have to, you know, it's almost a zero-sum thing, because you got to allocate that money to someone, you know? So it's like...
And they really don't have contracts.
Right, and there's no one, at least immediately, who's going to require that type of money from them, because some of these guys are still on their rookie deals. So, like, I see it. I can see why they did it. And, like, I think they could be a sneaky 7 or 8 seed next year, because they were pretty good for the first couple months last season before it kind of went downhill. Like, they were not bad.
They were not. We've alluded to it about 7 times. Let's just tackle it. 2016 NBA draft. What was more surprising to you? Thonmaker going 10th overall to my Milwaukee Bucks, or Deonta Davis falling to the second round?
I think the second part. I mean, I didn't see Davis slipping that far. I'd have to say that was probably more surprising, just because Don, like, I don't know, there was kind of an inkling that someone might take a swing, again, because the fact that after the, you know, top, you know, 7 or 8 guys, you know, the draft became such a, like, a crapshoot, like, yeah, you know, I was definitely surprised that it was that the Bucks, you know, decided to go that direction, but I guess I see kind of why they did it. But, like, I don't love that pick at all. But for Davis to slip that far, I mean, you got to wonder why it was. And it's just, I think it's probably just that teams probably see him as further off, you know, developmentally. And that's probably right. I mean, he's not a guy who's going to come in and, do things for you right away. He's a long-term pick. I mean, I love him. I love Memphis swooping and getting him there. That's a great fit for them.
Yeah, they had a sneaky great draft, I think.
Yeah, Grizzlies definitely came out well with Wade Baldwin. He's a really good fit for what they want to do. And DeAndre Davis, two defensive-minded players with some upside on offense. Like, I think that's good for Memphis. Really like what they did. I like adding Zagrash in the second round, too. They had a good draft, definitely. But, yeah, I mean, as far as Don, like, I don't know. I just don't see – it's funny because I joked about this recently with Andrew Sharp, talking about, like, how the Bucks are just going to play a lineup and have no positions and just have, like, five long guys play a zone, like, do something weird and just, like, see what happens. And it's funny because this is, like, what they're
getting,
doing now.
They're getting closer to that.
Yeah, so I don't know what it's going to look like for them. And maybe they really feel like Giannis is going to be able to play point guard. Maybe they really feel like – I mean, obviously they feel like Tom Maker's upside is worth gambling on. And then there's the age thing. Which I'm not as concerned about, but man, like, I have no idea what they're doing sometimes. It's just, I was definitely stunned by that.
Yeah, it was so weird because going in, like I already said this, I love Denzel Valentine. I wish they would have taken Denzel Valentine. I can see him as like a great sort of bench piece. He's not starting there because he can't guard the point guard, and that's what they need right now. He's not doing that. He's too slow. But, like, off the bench, a guy who can shoot, pass, rebound, all this stuff. I was like, all right, I'd love if they get Denzel. They probably won't because the Bucks rarely, if ever, do what I'd like them to do. So I'm working on making peace with, like, Deonta Davis or Jakob Poeltl. I can't do names today or any day, to be fair. But so I'm getting ready for one of those guys, which I thought both of those are safe, if a little boring picks, I guess. Davis wasn't that safe, considering he ended up going, like, 31. And then I think first Chad Ford updated. I didn't know people updated their mocks during the draft. That was insane to me. Like, it takes me so long to do a mock draft. People are updating them while it's going on. I was like, wow, I didn't know that was a thing. But he puts Don to 10 on his, and I see a couple tweets about it. I'm like, okay, you know, he's got maybe he heard something, maybe he just thinks something. I'm not too concerned. All of a sudden, Wojnarowski is talking about how Draft Express now has him at 10-2. At this point, I'm like, oh, shit. Like, they wouldn't just agree on that for no reason, like, 10 minutes before the pick. Is this really happening? And Woj tweets it. I actually just, like, stared at the ESPN broadcast just to make sure. Like, he's always right, but I still didn't believe it. And they said it, and it just sunk in, like, wow, they actually took this guy who's supposed to go at their second-round pick at 10th overall, who might be 23. We don't really know. I mean, we think, but we're not positive. It seemed like such a crazy reach. I mean, I could see why they did it if they really could not find a trade down and they didn't want to lose him and they like him that much. But I just don't know if I can come to terms with that much of a reach at 10th overall.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the bottom line is just, I mean, if you look at it, just as, like, whether is Don Maker a good basketball player, like, the answer to me is not clear. Like, I was never, you know, watching him play, sorry, coming up through high school, I was never struck by him in any, especially in any of the all-star environments. Like, he has not played college basketball, you know, he has not seen the competition, and if he's taken that high, you know, you're not going to stash him in the D League. You know, he's going to be on that roster, I think. So,
yeah.
I mean, the good news is he's not going to have to play a lot right away, but I just don't know what you're getting. Like, I just, he's a guy who I don't think is going to be more than a role player. He might be a good role player if he starts to be able to shoot. I mean, defensively, he's really long. He is legitimate 7 feet, and he's quick. So, like, there's some upside there. And I guess with Milwaukee's personnel, like, it's kind of interesting thinking about him and Giannis and get these long guys who can, you know, play different positions. But, yeah, man, it's not what I thought they were going to do. I mean, they obviously must not have loved anyone else at that spot. And then you also have to look at, you know, Thon is a Jeff Schwartz client who's, you know, also represents Jason Kidd. And, you know, they have a history of, you know, getting his guys on his teams. So that's another, probably always another factor.
They do. Didn't the NBA actually just make a new rule about that?
Yeah, there was something with that, wasn't it? With the representation.
I guess
I don't remember what the exact thing was.
I think it's not. I think you're supposed to like pick one or the other. I don't know exactly. Like it's one of those where like you read the article and then you just never hear about it again. Like clearly, it probably played at least some role here. I would say, not being the first one to say that clearly because you just said it. I think they liked Poodle, and I wasn't there. You were there, so you know more about this than I do. I think, but from everything I read, they liked Poodle. I feel like if he's at 10, maybe they don't take Thon, maybe they take him instead, but that's pure conjecture.
Yeah, no, I actually think that Lapton was, I think they promised Thon. Like, I have a feeling that was what happened. I don't know. I thought Portal was a good fit for them, too. I don't really know what they're doing. But
you're one of many of us, then.
That's going to be one of those picks that goes back, you know, when we look back at this draft, like, that will be more interesting to see 5 years from now what becomes of it. Like, I'm still skeptical of the outcome, so.
I am, too. I like their second-round pick a lot better than their first-round pick. I thought Brogdon's a great fit for them.
Yeah, he's a nice player. I mean, they needed, you know, someone who can handle the ball and, like, take a shot. He's well-rounded. I think he's ready to play a little bit. I mean, they've had kind of a rotating cast of guys at shooting guard with O.J. Mayo. And, like, they took Vaughn last year, which that was not a pick I liked. You know, he didn't do much last season. Maybe he'll play this season, maybe Brogdon. But, yeah, I mean, that's a nice, safe pick after, you know, at least you're going to get something from him, I think, so.
I was disappointed they sold 38 overall. I liked McCaw. I still like McCaw.
Yeah, I do too, and I think he's a great fit in Golden State, absolutely.
They had a good draft, too. They low-key nailed the draft, considering they didn't have much to work with. Like, $2.4 million for the rookie contract of Patrick McCaw is a phenomenal deal.
Mm-hmm. And I think the pick of Jones, like, that's definitely foreshadowing that they know Azalea is going to be hard for them to keep. So
yeah,
they definitely addressed some needs and, like, got guys who definitely, in a vacuum, look like system fits. You know, having watched a lot of Warriors games now, knowing what they want to do. I like it. But I think it's good to see them. You know, they didn't have a lot of time to turn it around for the draft, so they definitely came away making out pretty well, given what they had.
I think them and the Grizzlies were a big winner. For me, I think the 76ers were the biggest winner. I thought they nailed pretty much all of their picks. I mean, they got some real good second round values. And do you think Ben Simmons should have went first overall? I meant to ask this earlier.
Yeah, no. I mean, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I mean, I had Ingram first on my big board. I still think Ingram was the better prospect. I get why the Sixers decided to take Simmons. I would have taken Ingram, but I get why they decided to take Simmons. They're going to be able to at least play him right away, have some immediate results, and, like, you know, keep their fans happy. I thought Luau was a great value at 24. Korkmaz is a pretty good value at 26. If he becomes something, you know, he's going to need a couple of years. I don't expect him to come over right away. Luau should be over next season. But, I mean, yeah, for Philly, it was hard for them to screw it up, so it's good that they didn't.
I mean, if you have that many shots, you got to make some of them.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know what Simmons is going to be. I think there's still a lot of question marks in that situation. But he, at least, you know, he goes to a team that's going to be able to turn over the keys to him and let him run the offense, you think. And that's a good place to start. So,
have you gotten to talk to Ben Simmons?
Not in a long time. I wrote a thing about him back before he was, this was in 2014, I probably called Ben. This is before he had really jumped onto the radar, but I didn't talk to him at all this week. I mean, I don't know. There are some question marks, I think, about long term, but I'm not going to be a hater here. You know, I hope that it works out for him and for them. I do.
Yeah, I'm not trying to trick you into hating on anybody. It's just, like, from what I've seen of him, he seems like there's a little bit of a cockiness there right now. I don't know how real that is. I mean, obviously, I'm hella far away. I'm in Milwaukee. The draft's in Brooklyn. Like, I'm not there. I'm not talking to people. I'm not talking to people who are telling me this. It's just, like, from, like, walking around the guy who fell over, that vine circulated everywhere, and half of Twitter decided he was evil right then. Just the tweets at LeBron, which is, I think, was an overblown thing. It's just, I don't know, he's a little less humble than maybe a rookie should be, but I guess that sort of comes with being a first overall pick and being ordained as such all year.
Yeah, well, look, I'll put it this way. Like, whatever the case is, he's going to a team now where he's going to have to be a leader and he's going to have to earn the respect of his teammates. So we'll see, you know, how much of that talk is talk and how much he's going to put up, you know, when he gets there in terms of leadership. I think that is going to be a challenge. He's going to have to, you know, there's going to be a learning curve. I do not expect it to be smooth sailing all season for him. So I think that we'll see how he adjusts to that, these first accept the hurdles, and then we'll have a better sense. But, I mean, I hope that it works out. And the good thing is, like, I think he's a guy that you have to, you know, make a lot of corresponding moves to put shooters around him and get the right personnel in there. And I think, luckily for both parties, the Sixers are, you know, at the point of maximum cap flexibility and trade flexibility where they really want to do that. And, you know, the Colangelos, I think, get some trust, you know, that they know what they're doing. They are in a position to do that. So it's just a matter of, you know, how long will it take him to, you know, become a real leader on that team and earn the respect of his teammates as a rookie coming in who already does seem to think he's a star? You know, so I think there are reasons to be a little skeptical.
Yeah, I mean, you can just see in past 76ers have had problems with trying to come in and sort of lead the team. I mean, obviously there was all the Okafor stuff last year. Michael Carter Williams, not as much as Okafor, but I know he really tried to be the leader there. He was pretty dejected when he got traded, if I remember right. Not because he was coming to the Bucks, but just because he really wanted to be the leader in Philly. I mean, it didn't work in win totals, and I know from reading a few different articles that's something that he sort of struggled with. Like, it's hard for these guys because top picks, I mean, they've never not won before coming to the NBA. Like, you're not going to go, you know, 5-15 or whatever in high school and then be a number one pick. Like, you're just too damn good. Like, you're better than everyone by far. So for a lot of these guys, it's so tough because you come in having been like a winner forever, like Jabari Parker in his first season. And then all these losses start piling up. And it's just like Jabari's never lost that many games in his life.
Right. Exactly. And I think, like, and then when you're talking about Simmons, well, he did come off a losing situation in LSU. And
yeah, that's true.
Anyone seemed to handle well, too. So I think that's part of, you know, what you could point to is, you know, how is he going to adjust now to really being bad for a whole season with the pressure on him? You know, everyone's going to be watching because of him. We'll see. It's going to be kind of fascinating.
It is. I'm looking forward to it. I've been sharing all my opinions on winners and losers. You know more than me about the NBA draft. I think that's a safe bet to say. On draft night, I guess, and now too, if it's changed at all, who did you see coming away as having the best and worst drafts?
Yeah, I think a lot of teams had good drafts. I don't know if I can point to, like, one team that had the best draft. I think the Sixers, with their value at 24 and 26, you got to, you know, talk about them. Other teams that had good drafts, I like what the Hawks did. Getting, you know, Bembry and Prince are two guys who, you know, are very much Hawks guys. In the mold of what they want to do, we're going to be able to play for them right away. I love those picks for them. Memphis, we talked about them a little earlier. I really like the value they were able to get without having to give up much either. I think it's a protected first round to get Davis. You know, Baldwin was a guy who I did not love, but I think he's a great fit for them there, and I like that outcome. In terms of bad drafts, I mean, the Kings, again.
Oh, man. They started off so little, well.
Well, yeah, I mean, we saw them trade down from 8. I wonder, I don't know. I mean, the buzz in the morning of the draft was everyone thought the Kings liked Sabonis. Maybe they traded down thinking Sabonis would be there at 13 and they had to pivot. I don't know. But, I mean, Papagiannis, like, I don't hate that pick because I think he's a first-round talent. But it was definitely kind of out of left field. I think there are probably more teams that we know that like him. You know, I doubt the Kings are the only team that was like the size of first round talent. But at the time, it seemed like a reach, and they go down and get Richardson, who I am not a giant fan of. And then Scal at 28 was a good value. The Kings, I feel like it's kind of maybe a little early to like super hate on it, but I think you just want to feel like it was weird because it was the Kings. You know, they have not been able to develop anyone. You know, and they took three guys who are going to take, you know, a lot of developing. It's like, there's reason to be like, what are they doing? So, I guess that was one thing that was puzzling in addition to, I guess, the maker pick. I thought most teams had pretty good drafts, though. And I loved, in terms of another winner, I mean, I loved that the Spurs, DeJounte Murray at 29, he was a guy who I really liked coming into the draft. And that's, like, the best scenario for both sides. Like, I feel like he's really going to be a beneficiary of the Spurs developmental process.
I feel like if you're not a top five pick, the next happiest you are is if you get picked by the Spurs. It's like, you won't hear from me in 2 years, but after that, I'm going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, Murray is so talented, and he's got really good size, really good scoring instincts. I think the Spurs. It's funny because I don't remember the last time they took a 19-year-old from America in the draft, right? but I think that that'll be really fascinating to see if, you know, he becomes sort of not a replacement, but like a guy to fill that sort of Ginobili combo off the bench role. You know, is the guy who comes in and scores and he changes up the pace. I think that's an awesome fit, and I'm so fascinated to see because I think he was one of the more unique talents in the draft.
Yeah, and it'll be exciting to see what Pop and everyone there can do with him. One person who didn't like the Kings draft, DeMarcus Cousins. Two more centers or big guys added to a team that already has him and Willie Cauley-Stein, who is actually a rookie I really like. Well, now he's a sophomore player. I really like that pick when they... I didn't really like it when they did it, but since then I've grown to like it more. I like Cauley-Stein, but Boogie's got to be wondering if he's going to get traded soon with all these big guys.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if it necessarily means they're going to trade him. I mean, whether they know what they're doing is another question, but
yeah,
I think... with the new arena they have coming in and with the new head coach, like, I don't think this immediately means that Boogie's going to get traded. But you do have to ask, like, what is the thinking for them? And I mean, they stockpiled some assets here, but it's just so hard to know what the direction is going to be. And it just feels like nihilistic, like even worrying about it. Like, I don't know what it's going to be. So your guess is as good as mine. Like, I definitely am confused. But I think that they have to at least see what they have with Cousins and, you know, Dave Yeager, who I think is probably a good fit to coach him.
Yeah, I think so,
too. He's dealt with a lot of personalities, so, oh, man, that's going to be something.
Everything with Boogie is something, and with the Kings. Combining them is just double something. Last thing here, a team you didn't mention under winners or losers. A lot of people said that they were losers right away. I think the criticism started to fade a little bit. The Boston Celtics did not get a superstar. They did not draft Chris Dunn when it felt like the market was going crazy for Chris Dunn, and instead they took Jaylen Brown, who is a versatile wing with a lot of defensive upside, not much of a shooter. How do you feel about the Celtics draft, and especially the controversial pick at third overall?
Yeah, well, it looked like they knew they weren't going to get a package that was going to satisfy them at number three, so they were like, we're going to eat it, and I think if they took Dunn, it would have been a trade-in. And I guess while I'm not a big fan of Jaylen Brown long-term, I do see why they took him there. Of the available players, you know, he, because of his athletic ability, he's a guy that you want to talk yourself into. It's a good fit for him there because he's not going to be thrust into anything he can't handle. He'll have a, you know, he's playing for a great coach. They already have a pretty deep rotation. I kind of think while it was weird to see them, I guess, I mean, they traded two of the picks with eight picks. Yeah, they stayed put. But I also think that you do have to give them some credit for deciding to be patient. I think that definitely is a factor. And it's tough. It could be tough to be patient. But they also, remember, they have the Nets picks for the next couple drafts.
Yeah.
Still. So they'll probably be back in the lottery next year in a draft that will probably be a little bit deeper in terms of, like, if you're picking the top 10, you have a better chance of getting someone to really help. At the end of this year, it was a little bit thinner at the top, so... I actually kind of applaud them for being patient. Some of these stash guys, I don't know what they're going to be. Again, it's like, as the Spurs have shown us, like, sometimes just deciding to wait and just compile more assets and be patient is, like, not the worst thing to ask for. Although I know it may not be in alignment with necessarily the expectations of Celtics fans. But, I mean, I expect, you know, they're going to try to get Kevin Durant, and they will go all out to try to get Kevin Durant. And if they don't get him, then we'll see. But what this does is it also maintains they have some roster flexibility. You know, they managed to not commit too much to any one player. And, you know, I think it leaves them still in a very pretty flexible spot going ahead. So,
yeah, they're going to be fascinating to watch this summer and the next few years. Because, like you said, next year they got the Nets pick swap. There would have to be, like, a meteor hitting Boston for them to not swap picks, especially considering that Thad Young just got dealt. And the year after, they just have the Nets pick unprotected. So, yeah, the Celtics... certainly not doomed yet. They haven't. Their window's not closed. They just have the control to see how wide they want to open it, how fast they can open it. I said last thing before, real last thing, so I just reminded of it. Do you think Jimmy Butler was actually close to getting traded to the Timberwolves on draft night?
I do. I think they were very close. And for whatever reason, I don't know all the specifics, but I do know that it was very close to happening. And I'm curious to see. I mean, I think he's pretty much in a safe space for now, but I think all the Bulls, talking about how they, I'm pretty sure all that scuttle from the Bulls is Not quite true. I have a feeling that they were very close to trading him.
You think they're just trying to go full rebuild?
Yeah, but again, they would have really been, you know, blown away. I mean, I'm not as high on Dunn as some people, so I think it was probably smart for them to not go all the way off the ledge there. But man, I mean, I can't remember when the last time a team had traded away their two max contract players in one 48-hour span. Yeah. That would have been a first for me. So
that would have been the most quick, intense rebuild seen outside of NBA 2K, probably.
Exactly. Yeah, it did feel kind of video gamey.
It almost happened. Maybe. So that was crazy. I couldn't believe those rumors. That was maybe, for me, the most intense part about the draft night was that after they dealt Rose, Butler might be gone too. I was like, wow, that's something.
Yeah.
Jeremy, thank you for your time. Do you have anything you want to plug right away?
Yeah, no, not really, man. Just now that the draft is over, it's a little bit slower for a couple of days here before free agency. But, yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Wu, which is my name. I appreciate your time. Nice to chat for a little bit.
Absolutely. It's nice to unwind and get to just share some of these hot takes. We weren't too hot. I don't think we went too hot, which is good.
No, man. I've been trying not to go too hot. It's hard to not fall into that trap, but
it is.
Try to keep the expectations real.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks again, Jeremy. Talk to you soon.
All right, man. Take care.
Yep. See you.